When sharing your faith with a Latter-day Saint, it helps to know what their church has taught on several basic topics. For this reason, Mormonism Research Ministry has provided its Crash Course Mormonism. Crash Course Mormonism includes concise articles highlighting what LDS leaders and church manuals have taught on issues that will probably come up in a typical conversation. You can find these informative articles at CrashCourseMormonism.com. That's CrashCourseMormonism.com. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could join us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue looking at a conference message given by Mormon Apostle Jeffrey R. Holland titled, "Tomorrow the Lord Will Do Wonders Among You." The reason why we are drawing attention to this is in his talk, he made a comment that I think perhaps a lot of Latter-day Saints might be taking out of context. And if so, that could cause a lot of serious eternal consequences. And this is the phrase. He said basically that the gospel is that we get credit for trying, even if we don't always succeed. And some Latter-day Saints, if you've been listening to the series, and we're talking about a conversation that you had with a couple of young ladies that were Latter-day Saint, they were given the impression that what Holland was saying is, even though we still sin, even though we still have our shortcomings, that somehow we're still going to make it into the celestial kingdom, despite our sin. And as I've explained, I don't know if Jeffrey Holland was really saying that. That's quite a leap. But at the same time, I can't really know what Jeffrey Holland meant by that phrase, that we get credit for trying. Just because a Latter-day Saint is sincere in doing what he's supposed to do or what she is supposed to do, does that automatically mean that if they come short of meeting celestial law, that they're still going to get into the celestial kingdom? If that's what Holland was saying, then he has a lot of explaining to do, because there are a lot of Mormon leaders higher up the food chain than he is that have said just the opposite. And that's what we're trying to understand. But in the next paragraph, he goes on to talk about a controversy in the early church.
He said, when there was a controversy in the early church regarding who was entitled to heaven's blessings and who wasn't, the Lord declared to the prophet Joseph Smith, quote, "Verily I say unto you, the gifts of God are given for the benefit of those who love me and keep my commandments, and for them that seeketh so to do," end quote. And that's from Doctrine and Covenants 46:9. Then he says, boy, aren't we all thankful for that added provision and seek it to do so. That has been a lifesaver, because sometimes that is all we can offer. We take some solace in the fact that if God were to reward only the perfectly faithful, he wouldn't have much of a distribution list.
But what's interesting about that quotation from D&C 46:9 is there's an ellipsis there. And this is really what I found very odd. The ellipsis is to remove one word. Now, normally, Eric, when we write, if we use an ellipsis, it's because there's a lot of words that probably do not have anything to do with the point we think the rest of the phrase is trying to make. But he leaves out one word.
For the phrase, keep, dot, 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 my commandments.
And what is the word that you think he left out, folks? The word all. All. One word, and he has an ellipsis. Why did he leave out the word all? Here's how it reads. For verily I say unto you, they are given for the benefit of those who love me and keep all my commandments, and him that seeketh so to do. First of all, Eric, let's give a little bit of background as to what Doctrine and Covenants section 46 is really talking about, because you and I both agree that it sounds like Jeffrey Holland is really being a bit sloppy in his interpretation of this particular passage.
If you look at the notes of section 46 at the very beginning, it says, meetings of the church to be conducted as the Holy Spirit shall guide, neither members nor earnest seekers after the truth to be excluded from sacramental meetings. And so in the context, this is referring to both members and non-members, and not to kick those people out who are sincerely seeking. And you can get that from verse 3, which says, "Nevertheless, ye are commanded never to cast anyone out from your public meetings, which are held before the world." So referring to the Latter-day Saints, don't kick anyone out who may not even belong there, or anyone who is sincere. Goes on in verses 5 and 6 and says, "And again I say unto you, ye shall not cast anyone out of your sacrament meetings who are earnestly seeking the kingdom. I speak this concerning those who are not of the church." Verse 6, "And again I say unto you concerning your confirmation meetings, that if there be any that are not of the church, that are earnestly seeking after the kingdom, ye shall not cast them out." So in the context, he's talking to both the Latter-day Saints and the people who are not members but are allowed to be there in those meetings.
When it comes to a sacrament service, it has nothing to say about getting into the celestial kingdom. So if you're a Latter-day Saint and you've interpreted Holland's words as meaning that you get credit for trying to get into the celestial kingdom, even though you didn't qualify for the celestial kingdom, I don't know if that's what Holland was saying, and I certainly don't see how those verses that he is citing out of section 46 in the Doctrine and Covenants even hint of such a notion.
Yeah, then he goes on in verse 14, and it says this, "To others it is given to believe on their words, that they also might have eternal life, if they continue faithful." So the way that somebody who is not part of the church can receive eternal life, they have to keep the commandments continually, as the DNC has said.
They have to be faithful. And of course, eternal life in the context of Mormonism is celestial exaltation. That's how it is understood. And certainly we see from verse 14, you have to continue to be faithful. You have to keep celestial law if you hope to get into the celestial kingdom. Holland goes on.
He says, "Please remember tomorrow and all the days after that, that the Lord blesses those who want to improve, who accept the need for commandments and try to keep them, who cherish Christ-like virtues and strive to the best of their ability to acquire them. If you stumble in that pursuit, so does everyone. The Savior is there to help you keep going. If you fall, summon his strength, call out like Alma," and he quotes from Alma 36:18, "Oh Jesus, have mercy on me."
Well, even the word mercy in the context of Mormonism has some questionable definitions, because Mormon leaders in the past have given the impression that mercy itself is something that has to be earned or merited.
This is what Spencer Kimball said in the teachings of Spencer W. Kimball on page 150. "Mercy cannot rob justice. The Lord's program is unchangeable. His laws are immutable. They will not be modified. Your opinions or mine do not make any difference and do not alter the laws. Many of the world think that eventually the Lord will be merciful and give to them unearned blessings. Mercy cannot rob justice. College professors will not give you a doctorate degree for a few weeks of cursory work in the university, nor can the Lord be merciful at the expense of justice. In this program, which is infinitely greater, we will each receive what we merit. Do not take any chances whatever."
But then he goes on to say that Jesus will help you get back up. He will help you repent, repair, fix whatever you have to fix, and keep going. Soon enough, you will have the success you seek. Now, notice, this is why I'm saying I think some people are going to be misunderstanding what Holland was trying to get across. When he says he will help you, Jesus will help you repent. Again, how do you define repentance in the context of Mormonism? It's confessing your sins and forsaking them, never to return to them again. Jesus will help you reach that goal. He will help you repair and fix whatever you have to fix. I don't think Holland's given the impression that when it comes to your death day, that if you left a lot of things that still needed to be fixed, that somehow you're going to get into the celestial kingdom. I don't read that into this at all. But yet, apparently, some Mormons might. But he's merely saying you fix whatever you have to fix and you keep going. Soon enough, Holland says, you will have the success you seek. Notice, there has to be a success. You end your life on a note of success, not a note of failure. Even though you may have failures throughout your mortal probation, you are striving to get to the point where you don't have them at the end of your life. That's what these verses are implying in their own scriptures.
And so perhaps it could be taken in the wrong way, but let me just make sure I understand what you're saying, Bill. When Holland says, if you fall, summon his strength, and then cites from Alma 36:18, oh, Jesus, have mercy on me, the idea that, yes, I've fallen, but I can get back up as long as I repent and I do the things that I'm supposed to do. So you can't really use his words here as an escape route when you're not doing what you're supposed to do, but you need to get back on that path and then do it, which is what the leadership has been saying all along.
Yeah. In other words, you can't really use the word mercy as it's been traditionally understood in the English language, which is something that is unmerited, something that you don't deserve. Because if the Mormon does get up and starts to do what they're supposed to do, they have certainly earned this. Now, we wouldn't call it mercy. We would call it a payment due for the effort that was given in exchange for that blessing. And that's exactly what I seem to get out of Doctrine and Covenants section 46 as well. You must keep all my commandments. And that word all was suspiciously left out in his talk. But again, I don't think Holland is trying to let Latter-day Saints think they get a free pass. If you're trying, you will eventually succeed. You may have failures along the way, but it goes back to the question, how are you as a Latter-day Saint going to end up on the final day? And this is a question I think you should be asking yourself, Latter-day Saint, because if you're struggling right now, when do you think you're eventually going to get to the point where you're not struggling any longer? And isn't that really what you're hoping for? Because once you no longer find yourself having to repent of sins, really, that's the test. That's how you know you passed the test, is when you no longer have a need to repent.
I would like to give one more quote. This is from a general conference from April of 2001. Richard G. Scott was an apostle, and he said this, "Time and time again at funerals, statements are made that the deceased will inherit all blessings of celestial glory when that individual has in no way qualified by obtaining the necessary ordinances and by keeping the required covenants. That won't happen. Such blessings can only be earned by meeting the Lord's requirements. His mercy does not overcome the requirements of his law. They must be met."
They must be met. It's as simple as that. And that's why I think I would have a problem with the Mormon definition of mercy and perhaps even the way it's being used in this statement that Holland cites in his talk, "Tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you."
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Pastor, could your congregation benefit from a presentation that explains the differences between Mormonism and New Testament Christianity? MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson would be honored to come to your church. Whether it's a single crash course or a weekend symposium, hundreds of churches have benefited from their fully documented and easy-to-understand PowerPoint presentations. If you'd like to schedule MRM at your church, simply write us at contact@mrm.org. Again, that's contact@mrm.org.